While I've been here as your pastor for 40 years, I've told you that this thing was going to happen. And I've told you every time, I've said, now listen, thank you. You did a great job. I've told you every time that, look, this is the time span in which I think it's likely to occur. But I've told you every time, that's just my opinion. That's just what I think. Why did I do that? Because I was telling you the truth. I wasn't absolutely positive when it was going to occur. But I'm positive now. I know it's so close, you can almost call it. You can't call the day, the week, the month, or the year. But I want to show you something, and I don't think I ever showed it to you before. I just wanted to show you how I came to that conclusion, part of it. And I hope you'll keep this, because you can track it, and you can see it happen as it happens. Because we've got all the characters on the stage. We've got every one of them that's supposed to be in the program over there right now in the Middle East. We've just come through a hideous time with our government, and if you can't tell that's a magnificent mess up there, then I can't help you. But I'm going to show you some things that I think you might be interested in. I'm not going to go into a lot of explanation and things, because you have heard me talk about this so long, you've almost had a trip over there, probably two or three. Now let's take the very first one, Micah 3:1-2. Okay, how does God deal with generations? How does God deal with people? How does He take a certain bunch and you track them and let you see, this is what I did? I'm going to show you why. Pre-Babylon condition of Israel and punishment. As I go through here, I'm going to go very rapidly. I could talk more, but there's no sense in that. We're getting too close to time. I'm not going to be a blowhard anymore and just go through and explain every little detail. I'm just going to tell you. Micah 3:1-12. And I said, here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel. He told them this before He put them into Babylonian captivity. That's important to remember. It's also important to remember He did it. Is it not for you to know judgment? He's speaking directly to Israel. Who hate the good and love the evil? That's where they had gone to. What do you think's happening in the world out there right now? We're the good guys, and they're the ones we're after, and they're going to keep getting more and more after us. And the next administration is going to be pressured by the public to take away a lot of our benefits. Well, we got the benefit from Jesus. We got the benefit, and He's going to watch over us. I'll promise you that. You say, well, I may die. Well, He'll be watching over you, because, brother, you'll get to go out up before us, and we'll just be so jealous we can't hardly stand it. Who pluck off their skin from off them, Israel did that, and their flesh from off their bones. Do you know they skin some people alive over there, the terrorists? Who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from their bones? Israel did that. Who eat the flesh of my people, and they ate the flesh of their own people and flay their skin off them. And they break their bones and chop them in pieces for the pot. Now he's switching over some here to the people that were afflicting Israel at that time. But Israel itself had gone absolutely corrupt. And this country has gone almost absolutely correct. I would say they're getting close to the way Israel had gotten, and their enemies also. Splay their skin off them and break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot, as flesh within the cauldron. Do you know that most scholars believe, and I believe it, I think the scriptures justify it, that they chopped Isaiah up and scattered his bones all over Israel. They mistreated him. They hated him. They despised him. The prophets that told them the truth. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. Remember that. There comes a time when God won't hear His people anymore, because they have been totally corrupt. I'll say this very slowly. We are not in that condition. He will even hide His face from them at that time. He will not hide His face from us in what's coming up. As they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. He's talking to his people. This is how bad Israel had become. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. They call it err, but I call it err. That bite with their teeth and cry, peace! Listen, that's exactly what this generation is doing. They're fighting each other. They're biting with their teeth. They're crying, peace! And you think it's bad now? It's going to get a whole lot worse. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare a war against them. Listen, he said, he's talking to Israel, therefore night shall be unto you. He warned them. You know where they're in now? You know where they've been ever since the Babylonian, ever since they crucified their Savior and rejected him? They've been in darkness. That ye should not have a vision. They don't have visions anymore. And it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. He says, you're not going to divine anymore until fortunes. He said, it'll be when it won't work. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and that day shall be dark over them. John the Baptist and those who prophesied to the first New Testament churches were the last true prophets. And the law and the prophets were until John. So all these people that are running around on television and telling you all this stuff about the Antichrist coming out of Europe, they're lying like a pack of dogs. And they tell you these things, and it's not going to happen that way. And everybody's sitting around waiting for the red moon effect to cause all this stuff. And when it doesn't, and we get another four years or so or more of this stuff before the actual tribulation period starts, then they're going to just give up. But we're not. He says, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets, my people err. They bite with their teeth and cry, peace! And he that putteth not in their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore shall they be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divide, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark upon them. Then shall the seers be ashamed. How many people have you heard and prophesied that the Lord was coming on a certain day? 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 88. How many other false prophets have we had? You couldn't hardly count them all. And that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it is now. But it was that way before the Babylonian captivity. He said, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his son. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood. They actually were putting their children in the walls of their houses. They were crucifying them to the god Moab and other gods, and they were sticking them in there in the walls of their houses, hoping it would bring them luck. And Baal's blessing, and Astarte's blessing, and Jerusalem with iniquity, the heads thereof judged for rewards. The prophets told the people what they wanted to hear. Look at these people on television. Am I a wealthy man? Could I be a wealthy man? Not by what I know now. God forbid that I should ever have gone into something like this. Don't think I didn't want to be somebody when I was young, because I was poor. And I didn't have nice clothes like some of the other kids in church had. I'm not telling you a pitiful story. I'm just telling you the way it was. And I was a perfect candidate to go into something like this. But God chose me to do this. You think I'm going back into that mess? You think I want attention? You think I want recognition and praise? I don't get that from the TV host. I don't get that from a lot of people. And that's fine. And the priests thereof teach for hire. God knows I never was after your money. When I didn't want to come up here because I knew it was going to be hard. They paid me $40 a week. And then they had every month was 30 days. And that's what I got. But see, God had already prepared to see that I was cared for. Don't you believe Uncle Sam can be used of God to help people that teach the truth? And then back then, the Holy Spirit was very much alive in this country. He's trying to run and hide right now. No, forgive me. That's just a stupid statement on my part. He never hid from anybody. He knows everything, and he knows what he's doing, and when something happens, I just say, it's God's will. You say, well, you act like you trust him more than anything. I trust him more than anybody else that ever existed, because he's the only one who ever overcame. And he did it as a man. He had two personalities. And he had the true flesh of a perfect man, the perfect spirit and soul of a perfect man, and he also was the living Son of God. And he fulfilled all three offices of the Godhead. Now, if I can't trust somebody like that, you say, well, how are you going to do it? I believe him. I believe everything he said, every single solid thing he said. And when I make a mistake, and I ask him, please, Lord, don't let me misrepresent you. And before I ever started talking about the Lord being those three offices, and that was long, long ago, before that ever happened, I got on my knees, and I agonized with God. I said, Lord, if I tell them this and it's not true, I said, you'll kill me. But he never said anything. He never convicted me. Don't do that. Never. So finally, I just gave up. And I said, okay, Lord, here I go, and I'm scared to death. He knew that. But I got up and started teaching this, and when I did, I knew nothing was wrong with it. And when I'd make a little mistake in it, I'd tell you about it. But I knew it was the truth, and I know it's the truth today. And the priests teach for hire, and the prophets divine for money. You don't know how many funerals I've preached for people, and some of them didn't even believe in God. You know who always paid me the most? The people that didn't believe in God. I used to wonder why. They had the most money. They didn't know anything about God, and I said nice things about the person that went on. I just talked about God. If they wanted to transfer that over to that person, I'm not responsible for that. And I didn't make any effort to. I just preached about how wonderful God was and how he saved people when they came to him and repented. I gave them the simplest message I could think of. And I've always done that. But God called me to be an evangelist. Why do you think I went on all those trips? That's why. A pastor's supposed to be an evangelist. At the beginning, they may have had a special offer of evangelist, but pretty soon it got in our work to where evangelists would starve to death. And I've told you that story about Walter Lovelady for years, and he was a wonderful preacher. He said, and the prophets divine for money, yet will they lean upon the Lord? This is a question. He says, they're telling you all this. And he said, yet will they lean upon the Lord? He said, are they leaning on me? He said, and say, is not the Lord among us? Well, I'm going to tell you, and I've told you for 40 years, the Lord is among us right now. And that's in Ephesians 2:22. And I'll guarantee you he's here. And I guarantee you he's the head of this church, and I guarantee you he's the foundation of it. And I guarantee you he wants us to stay in the faith, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I guarantee it by the word of God. That's what you are. Look at yourselves. Look at me. Look how we're dressed. Do we look like the Holy of Holies? Do we look like the Catholic doctrine? Do we look like a great world of great singers? Are we like the Marble Tabernacle Choir? Are we putting on a show for anybody? Or are we just accepting Jesus as the head of us? And it's not the building, it's us. He's the head of us. This is a good place to be whether you're a member or not. And he's the foundation of us. He's the head of us, and he dwells among us. But the priest, they claim to be from God. Don't believe everybody that preaches it comes from God. Lord have mercy, have I learned that. And I question myself constantly in the 40 years I've been here. And always he never bothers me. But when he does, I said always he never bothers me. But he bothers me once in a while. Now I want you to think back on all the messages I've preached. Have I not made it plain that I am the chief of sinners? Have I not made it plain that I am an unworthy servant? Have I not made it plain that I'm totally supported by God, that He owes me nothing and I owe Him everything? I have confessed it to you for 40 years. And I have confessed it to Him a lot more than that, because He taught me what I am. You're not going to learn what you are in a church that just builds you up and edifies you and tells you how nice you are and thank you for the flowers and thank you for this and thank you for that and you're such a wonderful person and just blows your head up. I don't want that. If you give it to me, thank you. You say, how can you want something that you say, how can you tell us to, how can you thank us for something you don't want? It helps me. It helps me. And I won't ever look you in the face and say, don't ever tell me that again. Because by now you've learned that I love you because He first loved me. And you love me because He first loved you. And when you tell me that, I know it comes from your heart. And so I'm not much of a hugging person. My mother's folks, they never hugged anybody. We all ran for the back room when they knocked on the door, and it wasn't because we didn't pay the bills. It's because we didn't like to be around people too much, because we didn't live in a nice house. So I was the one who always had to go to the door, and it was always the postman. Now, I wasn't scared of the postman, or it was always one of my buddies. But that's the way we were. Do you know that you can't overcome that completely? Because I had to learn to love people. And guess who taught me? Jesus. And guess how He taught me? By this. Straight out of His Word. He said, the prophets told him, yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall the Lord for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the houses the high places of the forest. They worshipped in the high places. The rebellious man Korah, when they plowed the earth, they plowed a furrow in the earth. There are hens for, and they played with, they didn't even have plows. And when they plowed it out, they kept plowing till they got it deep enough. And if you look down on it, it looked like a hole. It looked like a long line, a hole in the earth. And when Israel gets down just north of Beersheba, there are hinge faults all in there. And that's exactly what they do. They have underground activity, and all of a sudden they open up. They stay open for a little while, and then boom, they straighten out down below. It starts filling in, and they close. What more do you want? I tell you, this church teaches the truth. And this is something that's so important. Now let's see how we're doing. That if this know in the last days that perilous times shall come, see if this doesn't fit this generation and see if it doesn't sound like Israel before the Babylonian captivity. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Some members of this church when they were young were that way, but they're not anymore. You see, only the overcomer can change to overcomer. Only the overcomer can change it. Do you realize that not one of you can ever overcome Christ, but can be an overcomer if you try to help Jesus? If you think that you can help Jesus, do you realize that? And do you, when you get in trouble and you need help, do you come to Him? Do you come running to Him like a small child? Or do you think you can bow up like this and say, I can do it? No, that's the wrong way. Only Jesus ever overcame the devil. Nobody else ever did. You said, which one of them? The Jesus who was a man. Why do you think He yelled up to heaven, realizing that the part of Him that was, that the Son, that the divine person of God that was in Him, the fullness of the Godhead, ascended? And He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? Now that's what happened. And a man overcame who was perfect. That man was the living Son of Almighty God, who maintained perfection in the flesh and protection in the body and protection in spirit. He had our sins laid on him because we had no sacrifice for sin. And he had to be a man who did it. He did what the first Adam had failed to do. He had to become a quickening spirit. I'm not a Calvinist. He knew that before the foundation of the world. It's very easy, if you teach that stuff long enough, to drop over into Calvinism. It's a deadly sin. And you drop over and think that something happened and, you know, it was me. No, it wasn't you. You say, well, what does it mean if what does it mean that I can't do it? It means he loved you by grace. He saved you by grace. He changes you by grace. You say, what do I have to do? Yield to grace. Yield to grace. It's hard. God didn't make something easy. He says, here they are. Without natural affection. What about these people? Do they hug and squeeze? Well, they sure do. I've been hugged by some of the greatest huggers and squeezers in the face of my life. Truth breakers? Aren't most of them like that? False accusers? Are they false accusers? Yes, they are. Incontent? Yes, they're never content. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's the world today. We're just like Israel was. He says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, how do you deny the power of God? I got something new to tell you. You can lose your salvation if you don't get baptized. That's a blasphemous lie. And that's, they deny the power of God. They don't believe God can keep you. You say, how many people are like that? I said, well, look at these other churches. How many of them believe you can lose your salvation? But I got some good news for you. And I sure got some good news for them. A lot of them are saved. S-A-V-E-D. Because God saved you by grace. They accept that. You say, well, what's wrong with them after that? They follow false doctrine. Do you know what that beast is that the Pope's sitting on? It's false doctrine. Do you know that wonderful glowing angel of light that sits up there doesn't realize he's possessed and full of darkness? He doesn't realize that. Many of them have been seared over with a hot iron, but the Pope surely by now knows better. You say, well, what are you? I'm just telling you the way it is. If you're impressed by all that hoopla and all that brightness and all that thing, you're following the wrong path, because you wouldn't have followed Jesus 2 miles because you'd have been smelling him once you got close to him, because they didn't bathe every day. He says, Paul made it plain, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Doesn't that make it pretty plain that baptism doesn't save, but to preach the gospel? Isn't the gospel supposed to save us? Not with wisdom of words. Other people twist it with words. That's what false teachers do. I don't do that. I continually get on my knees, and when I'm wrong, I tell you, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I can't save you. This church can't save you. You can't save yourself. But once you come to Jesus to save you, who saves you? Jesus. What happens if you're in a false church? They very quickly tell you that you can lose your salvation, and they maintain your attendance by making you think you can. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What does the Great Commission say? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Even amen it. What does this church do? What does this church do? That's exactly what we preach. That's exactly what we teach. That's exactly who the head of this church is, who the foundation is. And he's right here now listening to me and listening to your mind. He's here. Man, I'm going to follow him. Do what you want. But you're in the right church, I'll guarantee you that. There are others like this. But this one is one that tries to do what he said the way he said to do it. Now let's take a look at what led historically to where we are now and the future. Well, first of all, let's take a look at number 2 on the back. Daniel 11, 40-41, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south, Israel, push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. This is about to happen over there. When? Toward the end of the next administration. You say, well, that doesn't say that there. I'm saying it. You say, well, now, wait a minute here, Brother Michael Murray. Your time, I'm not giving you a day. I'm not giving you a week. I'm not giving you a month. I'm telling you, toward the end of the next administration. So you say, what are you going to do if it looks like it's going to happen and it's not going to happen quite that quick? I'm going to tell you I was wrong. What else can I do? But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Period. Near the end of the next administration. It's going to happen. Where are they going to get the ships? Didn't I tell you when they put that port in over there, that's where they were going to get the ships? Didn't I tell you that the nations that came down at the end to help them would be loaded with ships? This is when the first initial attack occurs. What's everybody been worrying about for a long time? Oh, when is Israel going to attack Iran? And haven't I told you they're not going to attack until they know that they can be successful? And Bashar Assad is finny. I've told you that for a long time. You said, well, it's been a long, long time since you started telling us that. Good heavens, don't you think I know that? But I'm telling you, he's a goner. Because he's going to be replaced by the real Antichrist after Russia gets more control over there and Iran all the way across into what we call Lebanon, across Iraq and across Syria and across into Lebanon. That's where he's going to arise. You say, what is that? That's Greater Syria. That's where it was, and that's where I've told you it was going to arise. You say, well, why do you pick the country of Syria? Because it's right in the middle of the whole cotton-picking thing, and because of what I knew the Bible said was going to happen over there. That's why. He said, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. That's the initial attack. That's the initial attack. When's that going to happen? In the last part, I put this there, what did I say a while ago? The last, I want to get it right. The last days.
Of the next administration.
You said, in the last days of the next administration. Now you figure out what that means. It means what I said. So when are they going to attack? When they attack, there will be 1,335 days left in the to the end of the tribulation period. Till all the seals have opened, all the trumpets have sounded, and all of the vials of wrath. 1,335 days. Now if I keep you over a little bit, you all forgive me, because I want you to hold on to this, because this will show you exactly what the Bible says, and that what I have taught here for 40 years is correct. And I never told you the day, week, month, or year. I'm not a heretic. I'm not a bad person. Well, God knows I'm a terrible person. I am the chief of sinners. When I say I'm not a bad person, I hate to see people say that. I'm not a bad person. Everybody's a bad person. Because even after you get saved, you got a monster living inside you if you haven't figured it out yet. And you know who can control that monster better than you can? The one who has a quickening spirit and who came to live in you. That's who can control it. Can you learn to run to Him every time you get in trouble? And when you go ahead and say, well, I'm going to do it a little longer, and you go ahead and do it a little longer, you say, He may not forgive me. What kind of a God do you think He is? He saved you by grace. He keeps you by grace. He makes you an overcomer by grace. You got nothing to do except trust Him to keep you. He says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of he shall enter all and he shall enter into the countries and overflow. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. I've told you who those countries are. I've told you it's Lebanon. I've told you it's Egypt, and I told you probably Saudi Arabia. He's going to take over that zone, and poor old Israel's going to be surrounded. But he's not going to hit Israel. Oh, no. Because then we might have enough courage to help him. We'll be setting offshore. We'll be setting offshore, and we'll be ready to go. And that'll keep the Antichrist at bay. We are not going to have a thermonuclear war. He shall enter also in the glorious land, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. I told you the difference between Egypt. I told you the difference between Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. This right here represents what we call Jordan today. They're going to run out and escape and join Israel in the Negev. That's exactly what's going to happen. Don't you know that they're all Shemites? Don't you know that they're not of the descendants of Ishmael? Do you know they're not the descendants? They're going to run over there and go down with them. They're going to fight with them. What about Egypt? The words that are used over there about Egypt mean Egypt will be, it says it will be taken, but it means to completely encircle. Why didn't God put that there? You say, well, could God be that specific? God is so specific, it's absolutely unbelievable. I thank God He made me a synoptic analyst. I never saw anything so specific in my life. But you say, well, was it easy? No! Good heavens, no. I had to learn which chapters meant what, why they were spaced, why they were, and go through stuff. God, I couldn't do it by myself. But God showed me. And when He showed me, I got on my knees and I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Lord, I hope I've listened to You. And I hope I've got this straight. And I didn't get that creepy feeling inside me. You're in big trouble. And He always gave me that. He never spoke to me. It scared me to death if He had of. And the law and the prophets were until John. I'm not a prophet. He says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. Ah, here's your millennial reign. What did he promise Israel? He said that one day they wouldn't be in darkness anymore, but He also made us the promise. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. I give you my word before God, and you can check it out yourself. He uses that word mountains to mean nations. And He does it quite often. He does it often. So when He says the mountains, He's talking about the nations. And it shall be exalted above the hills. Those are even the little nations. Like you take Lebanon. Well, you take little nations like Hawaii, and you take big nations like the Soviet Union, and they're coming back above the hills. Those are the little nations. You say, you really believe God would be that specific? God is that specific. God is that specific. That's why I became a synoptic analyst. A lot of people have been jealous of me because I'm a synoptic analyst. I'm not rolling around. I'm not proud of it. But God did it. And I almost want to tell you, blame God. No, don't ever blame God for anything. It'd be the stupidest thing you'd ever done in your life. And I've had people in this church that have blamed God for stuff and left it. And that's just wrong. Just wrong. He said, and we will walk in His paths, for the Lord shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And this is the millennial reign. And He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to sit on our tail in the city of Jerusalem. We're going to be stationed there. We're going to be headquartered there. We're going to see what goes on there. But we're going to be sent out if something goes wrong out there in his domain, and people will still have sinful nations and they will flee, and they're going to multiply. And look up at the number they multiply to. The descendants of Gog and Magog and anybody else that survived the tribulation period that was an unbeliever. And after all that time, what will God have proved to everybody? He's already proved it to me. The main problem is not the devil. The problem is you. The problem is me. And the problem is that we let Satan control our love of mammon and put it above God. You can love Jesus and still have lots of mammon if that's God's will for you. Because you'll be the type of person that won't just turn up and say, "Well, I'm well off here. Why should I go to church?" You're not the type. You're not the type. But many are. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. I'm not going into any Greek here. "He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, because we won't let them. Neither shall they learn." God won't let them, and he's in us there, and we don't have a carnal nature anymore. And furthermore, the nations won't be able to see us. "Neither shall they learn war anymore." Do you see the angels in here tonight? You see them in here? They're in here. God uses the angels for all kinds of purposes. You say, "Well, tell us what they are." I just tell you that's what he does. That's what he says. "But they shall set, and they shall not learn war anymore. But they shall set every man on his own vine tree and his fig tree." Everybody's there in carnal bodies that wasn't raptured out. They're there. They're scattered all over the earth at the end of the tribulation period. They've multiplied into the billions, trillions of trillions. Why do they all suddenly come against Israel at the end of the tribulation period? Because the problem has always been the carnal nature in you that Satan worked through, and God allowed him to do it so he could reward you in heaven. You're heaven bound. He put an inheritance in heaven for you before the foundation of the world. He knew what decision you would make. He let you make it. You made it. But he knew before the foundation of the world. I'm not Calvinistic. You had a choice. And then God acted on the choice he knew you would make. Now it's up to you which one you make. Are you going to serve God after you're saved? Are you going to surrender your love to him? Are you going to learn to love the people in the church because he first loved you? It's your choice. It's your decision. He says, "And every man shall sit on his own vine." What about all these other people out here? One still have carnal natures. That's why he calls them mountains. A lot of little individual hills out there too. And all those on the earth are going to sit under their own vine, even though they may not have received the Lord. It's going to be a time where people feel free and happy. And when they get too happy, they're going to turn against God. Many of those will not receive Christ. Many of those will not turn to Jesus. Many of those will not be saved. But what about those that do? It's an individual thing. Did you know it was an individual thing for you and for you and for me? God made it individual for us because he first loved us. Now, are we going to do what he wants or aren't we? That's a question only you can answer. You're where God wants you right now. You say, you can't say that. I just did. You're where God wants you right now. Now stay here. If you're not a member of the church, join here. If you believe this. If you can accept this. I'm speaking plainly and bluntly because I don't have a whole lot of time left. None of you do. Before Israel attacks, he says, "And none shall make him afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it." He's spoken it. I'm not going to be visible during the millennial reign. You're not going to be visible. Unless God has some reason for you to be visible. But we'll have our wonderful fellowship together. And God will send us out. And God will use us. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. See, he's going to let them have their own God. Did you want your own God? When you called on Jesus, did you believe he was your God? Did you believe he died for you on the cross? Is he now your own God? You know he is. Every one of you here, whether you're a church member or not, you know he is. You're certain he is. Why? Because you're getting to know him. And you know him more and more and more. And you never find the depth of his love. Hopefully in heaven we might catch a part of it. But the truth of the matter is, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of our Lord God forever and ever. We will. We will. The question is, where will you walk? Where will you walk? You say, well, in heaven. Whereabouts in heaven? Inside the walls of the millennial temple? Inside the walls of the final kingdom of Jesus in heaven? Inside the walls of the Holy of Holies? In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and I have afflicted, and will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. Well, didn't that happen? And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth and forever. I mean, isn't that happening? I mean, isn't that coming? Isn't that on our doorstep? And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. My goodness, he calls her the daughter of Zion. Who is the daughter of Zion? Israel. Who are we? Sons of Abraham. Who was Abraham? He was a son of Terah. We're Israelites. We're accepted in the kingdom. They're accepted in the kingdom. It's a kingdom of the faithful. Unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. He said, the first dominion is the new heaven and new earth. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Who is the daughter of Jerusalem? It's Israel. Who are we? We are the descendants of Abraham. Bible says we are. You say, we're Christians. Amen. That's exactly who you are. And in the New Jerusalem, you're going to find Christians. And we're all going to be visible to each other. It's a spiritual kingdom. And who else are you going to find? You're going to find the actual faithful of Israel. We're going to be right there together. And don't you ever forget it. Because I've fought that thing all my life. And you shouldn't mind rubbing arms with Abraham and the rest of them. You ought to be honored. And I'll be honored just to be where they are. I want to be in that city. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Read this very carefully. Is there no king in thee? Don't you have the King of Kings in you? Is thy counselor perished? Isn't Jesus your counselor? Is he dead? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Wait till that tribulation period gets here. Do you understand now why I say there'll be a flocking back to the truth? Do you understand why I say it? We're headed for the tribulation period. And when the sixth seal is open, that's when it starts and that's when Israel is attacked. be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. He calls him the daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For thou shalt now go forth out of the city. Oh my goodness, what city? And that's and shall dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shall be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the land for of spiritual enemies. Rome was the beast that the woman was sitting on was Rome. At that time, Rome controlled the known earth. And it was Rome, and that's who the beast was. You're saying, well, when you first came up here, you didn't teach that. Do you think I knew everything when I came up here? Some of you said I did, but I didn't. And man, I had to study and study and study and ask God, help, 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 help. And He gave help, 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 help. And I learned things that I didn't have any idea of. He says, of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered together against thee and say, let her be defiled. Let her eye look upon Zion. For they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel. Isn't that pretty well true today? For He shall gather them as sheaves in the floor. Arrest and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Keeps calling her the daughter of Zion. Why? And I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass. Who's going to come out of the men of the millennial reign? Who's going to come out of Israel? Israel! Israel! And what's she going to do? She's going to follow the cloud. And the cloud will be before her. And Israel will come out. And she will overcome the forces of all those that have come against her at Armageddon. And God will drive the armies back when they see the cloud and they see Israel following the cloud. And God will have eternal victory. And we won't be in bodies of flesh anymore. Because we'll have been judged in heaven and we'll come back with Him. And we'll see all this. And we won't feel helpless anymore because we'll know we're filled by the Spirit of God. He said, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thee my iron horn. I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. Who do you think's going to get all that? Israel. But Israel, we just wait till that happens. I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. We're going to be here. Listen, that's more than worth dying for. Peter didn't even understand that, and he said, I'm willing to follow thee to death. And the Lord wanted Peter, no, Peter, you've got to understand something. You'd be surprised how many people never come to understand that. Now I got some good news for you. See that right there? Take a good look at it. How many times have I taught you this? And how many times have I taught you this? Think about it. How many times have I taught you this? Number three. Now gather thyselves in troops, O daughter of troops. How many times have I been specific and exacting and told you precisely word for word exactly what that means and absolutely proved it to you? Do I have to do the same thing again? No. You know that what that refers to, and you know the Antichrist is going to be Assyrian. You know that. Who taught you, God? Oh, you mean you think you're God? No. God taught me and I taught you. God taught you because it was the word I used, and that's why I got so cotton-picking specific. Did I know all this stuff? A lot of it. But you weren't ready for that. I didn't think so, and apparently God didn't think so. And so I just said, okay. And finally, the other night, I said, that's it. That's it. I'm going to tell them, come creek or high water, come high water or creek, bust. I don't care. You need to know this. So 5:1-9, I want you to go ahead and read that for yourself. Please read it when you get home or now. I don't care when. Remember what I taught you? It wasn't me. I taught you the Word. I am an unprofitable servant. I know who I am. There's a lot of people that have come to this church that never realized who they were. And I could have been one of them if God hadn't sent me up here. And I thank God for that. Now let's go past 9. How does he close this out? Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries and all thine enemies. That's it. Who's going to deliver them from this Assyrian Antichrist? He says, let's go back up to verse 6. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances thereof. That's when they come up out of the wilderness. That's when they come up out of the end of the millennial reign. That's when Gog and Magog's descendants are in the billions and billions and trillions and come against them again. And I told you why. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land. When he cometh into, our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. That's coming. That's when he attacks it. That's when Israel attacks. That's when the Antichrist launches his attack. And it won't be Bashar Assad. It won't be. It'll be the real, honest to goodness Antichrist. And you're going to see him come to power after Obama leaves office. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. Man alive, look at that. This is the millennial reign. This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to see. And you're going to be invisible. And you'll see the people enjoying this. And you'll be enjoying what a lot more than they are. As the shower shall be upon the grass and tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of man. I had to take some commas in here to get this thing to fit on one sheet. So you can look at the commas when you read it in your own Bible. They're all correct. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the field. He'll rule. He'll be over everything. He'll be ruler from one end of the earth to the other. He says, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. Everybody, the whole world is going to be a bunch of sheep. And the Lord's going to watch over them. And some of them are still going to have carnal natures. Not us. But some of them are still going to have carnal natures. And they never will change. Does that surprise you? Well, it doesn't surprise me. Lord, in mercy, how many times have people heard this stuff? And many of them have never changed. Who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Now, 9, here's where he closes it out. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries and all thine enemies. That's it. Now, let's look at Revelation 3:14-22. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that's what we are. I think we're a Laodicean church. I think we're all our churches are Laodicean. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I think that's what I am. I'm a Laodicean pastor. Well, what's a Laodicean pastor supposed to do? He's supposed to tell you the truth. They all are. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. I wonder who that is. The beginning of the creation of God. This is what the Son of God has to say to us. He is the Amen, and He is the fulfiller of the three offices of the Trinity. He says, I know thy works. He knew what they'd do in advance. They've always had Laodicean churches. I don't mean to imply that they've never had Laodicean churches before. Lord in mercy, this history is full of them. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Make up your mind. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, that's about what we are. That's about what I am. I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest, I am rich. No, he's not going to spew us out of his mouth. Because when we say we're rich, we mean we're rich in Jesus. Most of these churches that are Baptist don't. And increased with goods and have need of nothing. We have need of Jesus constantly in our lives and constantly in the midst of this church. And we need to do what he said the way he said to do it and know that we're doing it right. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be as rich. This church has been tried in the fire. Do you think I've been here 41 years and I don't know we've been tried in the fire? Man alive, we've been tried in the fire over and over again. You say, well, why don't you just tell us all that all the time? I don't want to bring anything up. I don't want to cause any murmuring and disputing. I've tried for 40 years to stop murmuring and disputing in this church. I've tried, but I've tried because God kept having me preach the same thing. And I'd feel guilty sometimes. I said, good Lord, they've heard that so many times. And he wouldn't say, preach it again. I couldn't hear him, but I knew I had to. And I did. He said, buy of gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Before the judgment seat of Christ, I'll just tell you flat out, some people are not going to be as brilliant in the glory they manifest, the light they manifest, than others. But nobody's going to be jealous there. Nobody's going to have a carnal nature, because when God gives us all our reward there, we won't be jealous of each other. We'll be thankful to God that they did. We'll have some anxiety at the judgment seat that we didn't, but then that'll all pass, and we won't ever be jealous of one another. You say, I can't believe that. That's because we've been trying to find peace on our own over there in the Middle East for so long, and God's the only one that can bring peace. And when we finally get to heaven, God will have his peace. There won't be anybody carnal. You say, well, I'll be worrying about those people. No, you won't. You say, how's God going to do that? Well, we'll find out when we get there. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I know God loves me, because God laid it on me sometimes. I mean, God's laid it on me. And that's not talking about the door of the church. It's talking about a door of a church member's heart. And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You want to just say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me respond to your spirit. And then when you go on and you sin anyway, don't think God's mercy doesn't extend to you anymore. Don't think you've lost your salvation. Why do you think it bothers you? Well, you shouldn't have done it. But does that mean God doesn't hear your prayer and say, Lord, forgive me? What was it, Ken? 479 times? Yeah, 479 times. You know, he's always going to forgive you. You say, well, how's that going to help me? You'll finally get to feeling like such the dirty rat that you are. You'll start running to him. If you don't know what a dirty rat you are, you need to know it. And you feel like you can't do that to him. I just can't do that to him. And once in a while, you won't do it. And that once in a while will increase to more often and more often and more often. Why? Because of you? No, because you're running to God and he's helping you. Let him help you. Please, I beg of you, let him help you. Believe me, I live by this. I have to live by it because I've learned the truth. He says, you hear my voice. You know what his voice is? His word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've heard his word. You say, where'd you hear it? It's right here in the Bible. And open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's to everybody, men and women included. You a church member? Start doing this. And believe he'll forgive you. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I don't think, you say, well, boy, I'll be embarrassed. Hey, I will be too. I would be too. But I don't think that means you're going to sit right up there where he is and sit in the same chair. I think that means you're going to, he'll grant you to sit in my throne and you won't sit in his throne. You go down and surrender your crown to him and you will actually be around the throne praising him. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. Shirley, I think that's where your husband's going to be. I really do. I don't know, but I really loved him. He had the courage to stand up for what he believed. I wish I had that kind of courage. Well, maybe I've got it in these last days, but that's why I made him. I admired him so much. And it was a great honor to preach his funeral. And I know he's waiting for all of you up there. And
the way that he raised his children, the kind of wife you were, and the way your children have stayed in the faith. I think you're going to be right where he is. I hope so, but you know, I don't know. But I have always had a very high regard for you and your husband and your family. That doesn't mean I haven't had a high regard for you. But this man had a courage that most people weren't aware of. You'd listen to him preach, and he was slow and deliberate. He was soft in voice. I kind of think that's the way Jesus was. Except when he got irritated about somebody that was misusing the word and wasn't evangelizing and wasn't teaching like Jesus taught. Well, Jesus got irate too. That's why I always admired him. I should have told you a lot of things a long time ago. But every time I started, I had to go to the Lord. And he just wouldn't let me. Sometimes I just wanted to so bad, I'd get irritated at him. And I'd say, Lord, why can't I find this? Why can't I find it? And finally, I realized I was trying to exercise my own will. I don't do that anymore. Nobody needs to instruct God. You just go to him and ask that his will be done and mean it. And you'll be surprised how God will bless you. Well, you can read the rest of this yourself. You can read the rest of this yourself. You can read it. Please do. We're in the last days. And whatever you're going to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you better get at it. Kenneth, would you dismiss us? I'm sorry I kept you over. I'll try to make it up to you on Sunday morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you.